you permission as well.
Hell yeah.
Oh, well, how are you doing, Zachary?
My name is no longer Zachary. My name is Zane. But
Zane.
But you spell it with just a Z-N, and it's pronounced Zane.
Oh, Zane. Oh, okay, I see Zane.
Yeah.
Is this like a pronoun situation where I'm like obligated to call you Zane, or like?
Yeah, this is 100% a pronoun situation. I'm no longer a he, him, or a they, them. I'm an aura. So from now on, you will refer to me as being.
Just being. I see.
Yeah. Every time you talk about me and I'm not in the room, or you're telling a story about me in the third person, you'll be like, being, hold me, aura works as well, I guess, but anything else,
which letter of LGBTQ does this fit under?
Yeah, LGBTQ is too mainstream.
Oh, I see.
I fall under not even the plus. I fall outside the spectrum of it all. I'm kind of, I'm not trying to sound any arrogant, but I am above it all. So I'm LGBTQ's here, and I'm like somewhere out there.
So essentially you're existing on the next frontier of civil rights is what you're telling me.
I mean, those are your words, not mine.
We should really get like an op-ed written about you. I feel like your experience maybe is like, you know, maybe is something that really needs representation, and we just, you know, we haven't been saying it. And that's a shame.
Well, it does need representation, but it would have to be represented by me, because I'm the only one of my kind. And at your point, there already is being op-eds written. I've already hired writers. But yeah, this leads me, thank you for asking me. This actually leads me to my big announcement for Ask to Knows. As you may or may not know, I've recently moved to Chicago, and I've gone to meetings, and I've my entire perspective has changed.
Uh-huh.
And now this is a leftist podcast.
Oh, is this a leftist podcast now?
Yeah.
That's going to be tough for you. So by meeting, do you mean your CEO pulled you into a room and said, here's the deal, you've got to get that shit together on that podcast, or you'll never work in this town again?
No, my CEO doesn't care. It was a personal decision. Like I said, I went to meetings, and I don't want to give too much away, but I think you can guess based on how I'm dressed, what kind of meetings they were. I am, let's just say my Tinder bio, the first thing it says is ACAB, and the second thing it says is swipe right if you're a leftist.
All I want to know is who is paying you to sell your soul to the liberal regime right now.
That's the thing. I am a leftist, but liberalism, that's too conservative for me. I liken myself. Well, I don't, because I don't like labels, but other people have likened myself to fringe groups. People have labeled me Antifa. people have labeled me DSA. Again, too conservative for me.
But too conservative, huh?
Far too conservative. I am my own being on the spectrum, and I am a progressive's progressive's progressive. And like I said, I'm above it all. So as you can see, ever since I've changed my outlook, everything's been going great for me. I'm currently in Tahiti, and I am paying migrant workers to massage my feet as I record a podcast that has three listeners. But
In Tahiti and two layers, by the way.
Two layers?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
With your sport coat and the sun in Tahiti. It's apparently cold in Tahiti this July or August.
No, I put up with it because pain is my closest form of getting in touch with reality. And the world needs to experience more of it if they want to be enlightened.
Well, this is perfect because while you are like too left for Antifa, I think I'm officially now too right for Nazis. I've gone beyond Nazism, which might just be libertarian. I don't know. Still figuring that one out.
I don't think technically Nazism is a thing. It's fascism.
Yes and no. I don't think fascism is fascism. Fascism can be left or right.
Nazism is just what people called Nazis, but they were fascists.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm a conservative fascist, but now I'm like a conservative, like a giga fascist.
Giga, that's a fucking giga funny fascist. That's a funny what's the prefix? That's a really funny prefix. I'm gonna start using that. I'm a giga leftist then.
Yep, giga leftist, giga fascist, and together we form Astados.
Yes. Yes.
Which, I guess we should say we just got back from kind of like a break. We've kind of been on and off for the past month. Me and Zachary, our lives have changed and we've moved to new places and, you know, onwards and upwards. So thank you for all of our millions of fans that were waiting for us to come back. I got, you know, so many emails. I know you guys were just chomping at the bit for another episode.
I had to topple a regime real quick, but I'm back.
It's back also better perfect than ever. The way our lives are moving are also in great like opposition to each other because you've gone to the big city, you know, you've gone to get yourself a nice liberal job with, you know, very cushy, lots of benefits, big paycheck. I have decided to join the growing leagues of the stylishly homeless. You know, most of my brethren right now congregate in California and Austin, Texas, but I'll be joining them shortly. You know, I am fashionably homeless, so I can't afford to drive there yet, but one day I will be driving there.
Dude, fuck those places. Those places are already overplayed. You're starting fashionably homeless in Central Florida.
Which may even be worse because nobody, like the homeless in Florida, we don't even get headlines.
No, they do for eating other homeless people's faces, but you're going to change the stigma of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be like,
I'm going to undo the damage that's been done by all the people in namely California.
Yes.
All of the like 19-year-olds that are like, I'll just put a tent on Rodeo Avenue and that'll be okay.
And they influence from that tent. Yeah.
See, what I'm doing is a bit classier. What I'm doing is staying in like a 40-year-old at this point, staying in a 40-year-old RV that's kind of like in the middle of like a wooded area, Interlochen, Florida, wooded area, dirt roads. I actually wanted to talk about the neighborhood a little bit because it is like a cat and crackhead infested episode of Jerry Springer at all times at this current neighborhood where I'm staying.
Okay.
It is, dude, I can't even begin to, first of all, I have two cats, right? And my two cats agree with me on the state of the neighborhood because first of all, cats everywhere.
You mean you have one of my cats? Yeah.
Indica's got, or actually Lauren's got one of your cats. They got your cat, but.
Oh, you have the babies?
Yeah, I took the babies. Sativa is not bred for this country lifestyle. I let Lauren take her. Sativa would not have vibed. But so the property that I'm staying on has like 7 or 8 cats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're just there. They've just decided that that's like where they live.
Mm-hmm.
There's another property right across the road that's probably got 12 cats. There's another one that I suspect might have over 20. There's herds of dogs. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're people's dogs, but they're crackheads, so they just let their dogs roam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just the abundance of house animals and the abundance of all the babies they're having, it's truly magnificent for this little neighborhood. And that's not even like the funnest part. Although my cats, I do have to say, my cats are bougie. I didn't even mean to raise bougie cats, and we're homeless, so maybe they need to get humble, but they won't even like leave the camper because the ghetto little cats are out there, and they will just stand on the edge of the door and just look at the ghetto cats with just a look of just disgust and a look of like, God damn, I wish somebody would gentrify this neighborhood right now.
Well, I told you were raising pussies, like absolute suburban pussies. But dude, Tracker, you didn't want to listen to me.
The boy is a total
It's okay pain. Because, you know, they're sweethearts, but they've grown up in suburbia. They don't know. They didn't even know that this world existed. And it's a kind of a culture shock for them.
Oh, absolutely. But the Tracker, the boy, he's the biggest pansy. He's scared of everything. He's scared of being in a car. He's scared of women. He's scared of female cats, scared of dogs, scared of everything. It's been a real trip. And now the people in the neighborhood are really what adds the spice. Like I said, it's like an all day, every day episode of Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you've got every house has probably 7 crackheads in it. Mm-hmm. You know, Lord knows where they all sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just loud. What there was a just right before I got there, somebody had tried to burn somebody else's trailer down and kill that bitch in the trailer because she owed them money. Okay.
I want to know the sum of money too.
And you, when I tell you it was probably $50, like
it was probably like 3 value meals, but it
probably wasn't shit. And then so yesterday I'm sitting out there in the bed of my truck, right? This young greasy fellow goes by on his bicycle, okay, mm-hmm. and he stops right in front of the property in front of me, which is mm-hmm. just an empty lot where this woman is living in a van,
mm-hmm.
and he stops and starts yelling at this woman. He says, he's all, you told somebody something, you told somebody that I cheated on him or something. It's hard to understand, but she either stole from him or she snitched on his girlfriend that he cheated, maybe that he cheated with her, who knows. And when I tell you, this white woman steps out of her van and loud enough for the whole neighborhood to hear, okay, probably the next neighborhood, she goes, no, I didn't, nigger. And then they just start cussing at each other, calling each other all kinds of niggers. And like, you couldn't even understand it. Two white people. Okay. Two white people.
That goes without saying. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes without saying. Oh, yeah. God. You know, it's a great experience. Every day, every time somebody talks to me, I'm like, am I going to get robbed? You know, what's going to happen? It's great. Every time I see a dog, I'm like, it's going to bite me and I'm going to get rabies. I'm going to die. But it's a good time.
So what you're saying is you've missed home.
Yeah, I did miss hope. I didn't even go last lit.
Dude, I wanna go down there for a weekend so bad and just unleash my wild side and start fucking shit up.
Staying for a couple months, I'm gonna be bringing my college kid rambunctiousness to all my country friends down here.
Have you been licking up? Or you've just been cleaning out everything, so you really haven't had time. Yeah, I've just been
cleaning out, because let me tell you, the camper that I'm staying in had to essentially be stripped and, like treated with a chemical bath. It's been rough. The property had a bunch of trash. I don't know what it is about neighborhoods like that, where it's like everything is always full of trash.
But no, no, I don't think it's the neighborhood. I think it's your family who trashed the trailer.
Yeah, honestly, I am still shading the shit out of my brother, and I cleaned the trailer a week ago and I'm still shading the shit out of her.
I mean, you didn't send me before and after, so thanks for that. But I mean, based on the descriptions, I would be shading him for the rest of time for his stinky ass. He's a father to a child, and he has like bum muffins. Like, that's just inexcusable.
Oh, yeah.
And dude, the picture you sent me of their trailer, it's a fucking nice trailer.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, they got hooked up with the, by the way, my whole family is on this, like, living in a camper thing. Like, it's been happening on the internet for a while. It's breached into my family. Now that's what we all want to do. But yeah, he got himself a new, very nice 2021 Winnebago.
Dude, that thing should be spotless. That thing is so fucking nice. It's a damn
shame. I played no games. What I tell you, I just sprayed their trailer for bugs because I came over and I'm like, all right, we got to get this together.
Good. I remember on last podcast you were talking about how like they just left a piece of pizza on the ground in the trailer.
Oh, I think it was like, pasta.
Pasta. How does pasta, like, I get if it fell from the counter, but how does pasta just sit on the ground? Like, that's you should go to jail.
It's in no hyperbole here, before I started cleaning the place up and fixing stuff up, the only thing I'd ever seen that was so horrid was like a meth head's home.
Yeah,
it's what it looked like, and they don't do drugs, so I don't know what their excuse. I don't know what their excuse is, because they don't do drugs. So
there is no excuse. There is no excuse.
There you go. But you know, it's been great. It's been great. I've been sorting through various slime. I've been dodging wild dogs and crackheads. You know, I've been having to give people jumps because I've got apparently like the only car that works in the neighborhood. So I've been giving people jumps and like very prepared to stab somebody. Just in case somebody's trying to rob me.
They're gonna fucking take all the battery out of your car. You're giving all the jumps.
Yeah, man. I don't know why. Don't nobody in this town. I swear to God, everybody in this town has an issue with their terminals. There is not one person in this town that has two tight terminals with a fresh rubber seal.
Wow.
But it's been great. Beautiful. In great contrast, I'm sure, to your experience in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of, let me just say this, the thing that I noticed right away about Chicago is you hear all this stuff about, you know, Chirac and shit go and all that stuff. The part of, like, first of all, there really is no downtown Chicago. There is a part of Chicago that people refer to as downtown, but there is no such thing. It's the north side and then the south side. And everyone says, you know, the south side is fine during the day, but you do not want to be caught down there at night. Because that's Chirac area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's so nice in the north side. And it's not like New York. The streets are so clean. And it's like, everything seems like happy and well. Mm-hmm. And then I look around and I'm like, where are all the black people at? Like, I hear Chicago has a shit ton of black people. I don't see any black people. The only races I see are Asians, Mexicans, and Indians, but no black people. I'm like, where the fuck are the black people?
Well, because those are the races that know how they're good at making money.
Dude, I figured it's like New York pre Rudy Giuliani. Like, the wealth gap is insane. Like, the transfer of wealth from poor to rich, it's the wealthy side is the nicest, one of the nicest places I've ever seen. And then the poor side is one of the worst places I've ever seen. And no black people go to the north side, very few. And it's like, wow, this place is segregated. And it's funny because, you know, we've talked about it many times, how much the rest of the country loves to tell the South that they're mm-hmm. racist, mm-hmm. but this is probably, it's not like openly racist, like people are saying like we got to get the black people out here, but it's like this very what's the word I'm looking for, it's a very ominous undertone that like we all know that there's no black people here and we want to keep it that way. Yeah, it's like institutionalized, it's systematic, it's and like the city is revolting against itself, like the South Side is literally revolting against the North Side. That's why I said it's pre-Rudy Giuliani in New York, because mm-hmm. it's such a wealthy city, but also so poor, and the crime is only going up. So, some major shit is gonna go down in order for the poor people to get some leverage. So it's gorgeous. I never felt not safe. I felt more safe on the north side of Chicago at night than I did anywhere in Florida. Mm. But it's ominous that I feel that safe while knowing that there's an actual war zone like a mile away, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I bet that is a bit awkward at times.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Go ahead. You bring up a good salient point about the racial makeup, because I'm in this little tiny southern town right now, and on my poor crackhead neighborhood, you can find people of every single race.
Dude, my dad's family, they're from bumfuck Alabama and Georgia, but most of them live in Atlanta now.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta's the blackest city in the country. You can't go anywhere without seeing black people in the burbs, in the hood, downtown. It doesn't matter. It's like the most racially integrated city I've ever been to. Mm. And when I passed through Nashville, I got the same vibe with Nashville. Everyone was together and there was no, because also people don't understand, people that aren't from the South or visited, is Southern hospitality. People just genuinely respect each other more. Mm-hmm. Down there, it's just crazy that people, it's not crazy when you think about human nature, people yeah. just love to pin all of their own shit on other people, and the South is like the location of the seceding yeah. states, so people are like, it's the South, you know, racist, but like I'm willing to bet it's less racist.
I honestly I haven't seen all of America, so I couldn't say for sure, but you know what I think. I think big cities are where racism really, really prospers.
It's just so much more elitist than down south.
Yeah. And I mean, when you think about it, in small towns where everybody's broke, nobody really has the time or luxury to be a racist.
No, because everyone's broke.
Dead ass. You need as many, like, you're never going to get somebody say in a town like this saying that a nigga can't come into their restaurant or their store, because they need every single customer they can get. There's like 14 people here. Yeah. So, like, yes, please come.
Yeah, but Chicago's been great besides that. The Antifa meetings are really interesting.
Yeah. Are you ready to be there when the city goes up in flames? Because you know it's coming. It's coming for every liberal city. If it hasn't happened yet, it will.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen too soon. I think it's going to happen within the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I'm out of here by then.
Of course, you'll be one of the people starting the fires.
Of course. And right now, I'm living in the burbs. I might move to the city. I don't know, because the city is... it's very romantic, but this dude, it's not like a sweeping blue state. I have met a lot of conservatives, but obviously in the city, it's very liberal. So, yeah. Dude, the gallon of milk will cost you $6 in Chicago. Guess how much the sales tax is. This is sales tax.
Keep in mind.
Good guess, 12%.
Jesus Christ.
So
Florida doesn't even pay state taxes and we still only pay 7% sales tax.
That's because two reasons. One, tourism, right?
Mm.
Tourism pays for a lot of shit. Two, When the government doesn't ask you for taxes, it's a contract between the citizen and the government, and the contract is you don't have to pay us, but don't ever come to us for anything. We're not going to give you shit. You're not going to have nice public spaces, right? Chicago has very, I would say, not the north side, has very like immaculate streets, very nice public parks, and like very nice like services, like some shit we wouldn't need in Florida, like plowing the roads, like all that shit, it gets taken care of in Chicago. But the trade-off is you pay us a lot of money and we get to tell you what to do, you know. In Florida, it's you don't got to tell us shit, but you don't have to, you're not gonna, don't expect shit when your house is burning down. Like, we're not gonna give you anything either.
Which I would almost prefer.
I do too. I wish there was a little more of that. I mean, the jobs pay better up here, but it all balances out because of the cost of living. So what's the difference? Man.
Speaking of Florida, have you seen any of Ron DeSantis and Biden's little back and forth this week?
The only thing I saw was Ron DeSantis. It was pretty funny. He was like, I don't know. Again, you're going to have to fill me in. But DeSantis was like, Biden said he was going to end COVID, yet he's importing it from Mexico, like thousands of cases of COVID a day, which I thought was funny. But like, what else? I mean, what?
Well, so essentially it started because Cuomo banned counties from making mask mandates or vaccine requirements.
Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah.
Not Cuomo. DeSantis.
Yeah, DeSantis, my bad. Okay, I kind of get them mixed up. They're like different but very similar men.
They both harass women.
Yeah, absolutely. Ahead. They both harass the shit out of their interns. Most important detail. And they both this year, I think, did a mass genocide of their elderly population. So, you know, really the same guy. But essentially he said no mandates. We're not doing COVID part two in Florida. And Biden basically came out and said something about how like that's irresponsible or whatever, basically called him out for making that decision. And then DeSantis responded with a resounding, how about you sweep around your own front door with all those illegal fucking immigrants slipping in through the border?
Yeah.
Which I love. Like, it wasn't really the most salient response as far as like, are you doing the right thing with not allowing any mandates? But it was funny, and it was in the true spirit of Florida, because essentially what it was, hey, how about you mind your fucking business? It's not like you're doing the best job over there anyway, nigga. Which I lived, because he's correct, because what the fuck is Biden got going on? Especially at the border, what the fuck does he got going on?
He is correct. And what the fuck has he got going on with COVID? Nothing. He's done nothing besides scare people. So, I mean, anytime it's president versus governor, first of all, the number one rule of politics and really life is you don't punch down. So the fact that Joe Biden is punching down to a governor means he's lost his mind, and he's not gonna win a second term. But I live for it too. I love public petty spats between elitist grown white men. It's
amazing.
It's amazing. They act like mean girls, even though they're literal demons, you know, they're literal lizard people, but they're like, you know, getting into it on Twitter.
I just appreciate when I can look to them for entertainment, you know, because it's not like I'm looking to them to like fix
the
country or make my life better.
Yeah.
You know, that won't be happening. But if at least they can provide, you know, the same energy that an episode of Real Housewives provides, then it's like, okay.
Yeah, politics.
This is worth my tax dollars.
Politics is genius because they don't need reality TV show production, but it is a reality TV show.
At like, this point, it really is.
Imagine if they had like the Kardashians level production and they got all the politicians in the same room.
I'd watch.
That would unify the country, honestly. And that's why they haven't done it, because that would be such a fucking stupid shit show that everyone would be like, oh, these people are retarded. Like these people.
Yo, imagine like they're at like, it's like Real Housewives. They're at like the dinner. Everybody's around a big table in a restaurant, and Marjorie Taylor Greene throws her drink at AOC. Yeah. And AOC starts crying, and she's like, "Why would you do that?"
And the squad follows her to the bathroom, and then it's just a camera of outside the bathroom, and you hear AOC like, "I don't fucking understand, like why."
And then it cuts back, and fucking Ilhan Omar has a fistful of Marjorie Taylor Greene's hair, and she's just shaking the shit out of her. And she's like, "Bitch!"
And they zoom in on Ron DeSantis's face, and he's like, and then it cuts to him. He's like, "I don't think that was an appropriate response, but at the same time, he deserved it."
Biden's in the corner, popping a chubby, trying to hide it from the camera.
Yeah, he's just trying to sniff girls behind the camera.
Literally, there's like a shady cameraman watching him from across the room, and he just walks by women and he goes,
No. They're filming the outside of the bathroom where AOC's crying, and in the mic you hear, and the camera turns and just hits Biden's face, and he's like, "Oh, what's that, lavender?"
Yeah, I would watch. I would watch. That would be goated.
Yeah, it would. It would.
We could get that going.
Let me take off this fucking stupid ass jacket, dude. I'm literally.
Are you warm?
Yeah. It was a bit, but like it's gone too far.
Speaking of presidential bullshit, did you hear about Obama's? I think it's supposed to be 600 guests at his birthday party at Martha's Vineyard.
No.
Yeah, for like, I can't remember the exact date. It's like this month or next month. He's got planned this big ass party, 600 people. Meanwhile, you know, you've got all of the leading members of his party telling us that we should all be terrified for our lives and locking down, and we're going to have to social distance again and da 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 da, you know, stop the spread. Meanwhile, yeah. Obama's like, over here, we're getting turned. We're turning having, up.
We're having an elitist version of a black cookout. It would be funny if Obama was on the grill and he just has a do-rag on and he's smoking a cigarette and he's like, "You want burgers or hot dogs?"
No, he'll be barring Hillary Clinton's slaves.
Of course, it's going to be much more elitist, but I wish it would be fun if it was like more black, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, so that's fun. I love that, you know.
Yeah.
The constant signaling from powerful Democrats that they know that they're like bullshitting when they talk about how dangerous this virus is. They know they're bullshitting. That's why they keep getting caught getting their hair done and having parties and whatever. They're worse than college kids, honestly.
Way worse, dude. It's they think we're actual sheep.
They do. Unfortunately, many people are.
Yeah. But at the same time, many people aren't. Many people are like, but this is the thing, okay? People who are not smart, but people who see that it's bullshit, they're like, okay, I can't change it on a singular level, so I'm just going to be apathetic. And that, all that does is apathetic people don't vote, so the people that are sheep are the ones that are voting, therefore determining the trajectory of the country. So it's like, and they're so retarded, but at the same time they're smart when I'm talking about the elites, because they make the people that could make a difference apathetic. Mm-hmm. And therefore they remain in power. So God damn, I fucking. But like, what can we do, really? Because both parties, no matter who you vote for, it's gonna fucking. This is why I'm anti-fa, bro. This is why I'm too conservative. Anti-fa is too conservative for me, dude. Because either party you pick, it's gonna be dog shit. So what are our options besides revolution? And I don't want a revolution. I don't want to, like, I love America, but like, what the fuck? What can we do?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. Like, I don't know, because we are in this weird position where it's like the 3% of crazy people on either end of the spectrum are the ones that decide every election.
And all of, and we, because we're common people, we're working people, we don't, and we're not evil, we don't think about diabolical plans 30 years in the future, like 9/11, the coronavirus, all this shit was in the works for such a long time, not necessarily, you know, them conspiring to make it happen, but yeah, they're like, when an event such as this happens, we're gonna steal all of their rights. So all of our rights are already stolen, and what rights we have left, they're hatching a plan to steal them actively.
And you know, and the shitty part is, because you're right, not everybody wants to think all ahead of time and about, like, you know, these, where could these diabolical plots end up and all that. And you know, the shitty part about it is like, most people couldn't really deal with that every day, because like, I'm a person who's always thinking that anytime I hear the government do anything, I'm like, okay, well, in 10 years, how could this be the end of our freedom? And that is a very mentally challenging place to be in most of the time, because you get paranoid, you get anxious, you get to where it's like you're just always, you're looking around, always expecting something to fall into this bigger power play.
And that's perfect for them, because you try to tell people or explain it to people that, you know, don't have time because they're working and have bills and have kids. And they're like, this person sounds like a nut. They're crazy. I'm going to dismiss everything they're saying. Yeah. But it's like, it's fucked.
I mean,
dude,
it's like, it's the Alex Jones effect, you know, when you get passionate and you start saying crazy shit, like the government's run by a cabal of pedophiles, people are like, well, that couldn't be the case. That sounds too crazy. But it's like, that absolutely is the case. It is a cabal of pedophiles.
And to your point, like Alex Jones, when you get too deep into this stuff,
oh yeah,
as you said, you get paranoid, you start saying the frogs are gay. Yeah. Like you literally have too much data in your head that like your wires start getting crossed.
Dude, literally. I mean, so I had a liberal friend. I was talking to a liberal friend about cancel culture a couple weeks ago, and he said something to the effect of like, has anyone ever actually been canceled effectively? And I, when I tell you, like, my brain almost, like, I had like an Alex Jones moment where I was just like,
he thought you were autistic. He was like, what's going on with Justin?
Yeah, literally. He's like, what? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, the best thing that I can do, because I'm an artist anyway, so it's not like I have to live a sane life. Like, I get to be a crazy person. In fact, that's kind of required for me to be great in my career one day. So, like, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And always being endlessly suspicious of anybody who has a large net worth or a lot of power.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst motto or like principle to live your life by.
It's really not. I think that's the main place where both the left and the right get it fucked up, is when they convince themselves that the politicians on their side are any better than the other side, or that they care about them more than the other side.
Yeah, dude. None of them, they don't know your names. They don't, you're a number on a screen, on a paper that they're talking about how to fucking steal your money from and your rights. So
they want your money and your vote. They don't give a fuck about your happiness.
No, dude. What do you want? You want free healthcare, and you also want dogs to be allowed to be trans. Okay, so we're not going to give you healthcare, but we'll give you trans dogs. Okay, so we're going to leave you wanting more. It's
you know, and that's another thing too. How many promises are they not going to fulfill before everybody starts to clue in?
Yeah, I mean, like we said, bro, I think a majority of people are clued in. It's just a majority of people that are clued in are working class. They don't have fucking time to take off work to overthrow the government.
Yeah, man, you're right. It really is like the centrist people, the people that are more common sense, that like they're never that loud about it. They're never that active about it because
they have common sense.
Yeah.
They're
all
like,
all the people that realize that like the president's not very important, they just don't really talk about voting for the president because they're like, well, it's not that important.
Yeah, who cares?
That's another thing with the president. Can we just turn it into like a ceremonial thing like the Queen of England? Can we just have like the nigga be fun and funny and entertaining and then have no power? Because like if we're going to keep electing people like fucking Biden and Donald Trump for the foreseeable future, can those niggas not have influence?
I want Donald Trump to be president for the rest of his life, but the office has no power.
I would love that. That would be amazing.
It would be the best time.
It really would be. I mean, look at how he galvanized the nation. He really made everybody want to act on both sides.
Actually, yeah.
Speaking of parties and the blind loyalty, did you see that New York City, the mayor, I believe, made a mandate that now, in order to participate in New York's economy, you're going to have a vaccine card. You're going to have proof of vaccination, and you'll be presenting it at the door. And if you don't have it, sorry.
Yeah,
I guess you're not allowed to buy groceries in this city anymore.
Yeah, I found out about this because I'm a fan of UFC, and one of this fighter, Michael Chandler, he's set to fight another fighter, Justin Gaethje, and they want to do it at Madison Square Garden in November, but Michael Chandler isn't vaccinated, and so the whole fight is in jeopardy, right? Because it's supposed to be at Madison Square Garden. And he said he's not even necessarily anti-vax. He just isn't going to get it until it's 100% FDA approved, which is a rational thing to say, right?
Yeah, very rational.
And it's, you know, the whole argument that people who are not pro-vax, the people who are like pushing the vaccine down other people's throats, they're saying their argument is measles, smallpox, polio. And it's like, yeah, but those have been approved.
Those are very old. Like, we've perfected those, and we've had a lot of time to see if there's long-term effects.
Yeah, make no mistake, the first people to get the polio and measles vaccine, some of them died.
Oh yeah, some people got the polio vaccine and got polio.
No, that's how, I mean, that, you know, that's how vaccines work. So like, it fucked up. Yeah, inevitably. So To compare the two or to equate the two is ridiculous, because it's not 100% approved. It's an experimental jab.
It's an emergency. Right now it's on an emergency authorization.
Yeah.
But
people equate it to fucking the Black Plague. And it's like, no, dude, no. But I found out about that because a huge UFC fight I want to watch is now in jeopardy because of this fucking mayor. So,
man, that sucks. What I find fascinating about it is, because I remember last year talking to liberals, my liberal friends, and talking to people on Twitter, and you know, just keeping track of the conversations and what liberals were, you know, I heard so many people say we're not going to do the vaccine passport. So like pretty much the entire any powerful Democrat, you know, was open. They were saying, we're not going to do that. That's not what we're leading towards. That's not what we're trying to get accomplished. I had so many liberal friends be like, well, nobody is trying to force you to get vaccinated. You know, and I remember being like, okay, right now we're not. How long before it does become that? And then how long before the vaccine card, before the vaccine passport gets developed, and then that becomes something greater and more powerful than like we even expect.
How long did it take, you think? Like 5 months, 4 months?
I mean, yeah, yeah. Like, I feel like just 5 or 6 months ago, they were saying, no, we're not going to do the vaccine passport. And now here we are. You've got New York doing it. You've got other states talking about it. And it's like,
I think it started in like Europe, right? Like, that's what started the whole conversation was.
Yeah, there are definitely good countries in Europe that are doing that.
I don't know if it was Australia. It was some abroad country where they're like, you can't come here unless you have the vaccine passport. And
Australia's got some really weird shit going on. I've heard about them, like, I guess using the military to keep people in the house.
That's New Zealand.
Had like, oh, was that New Zealand? No. New Zealand's hunting people down who get vaccinated. I've heard stories of in Australia, which Australia's had like less than 10 cases this year because they haven't been letting anyone travel to the country, which, by the way, the only way to stop coronavirus, shut down the fucking airports.
And people thought, or not people thought, people accused Donald Trump of being, you know, classically racist because he proposed that. And it's like, no, dude, this has everything to do with public health. Mm-hmm. But no one calls Australians racist, even though the entire country is white and they literally genocided the natives more recently than Americans did. But no one calls them racist because they're like 95% white, you know. Mm-hmm. But they literally shut down COVID because you're not allowed to travel there until, I think, 2022.
But it's getting weird because now I'm hearing stories about them still keeping people locked down. And now I'm like, okay, so what are we doing? I mean, if you guys are not really having any cases, what's going on?
This is them trying to desperately hold on to the rights that they took from people.
It is now, you know, to put on my conspiracy cap for a moment, it is getting a little bit weird how it kind of seems like just about every country in the world is trying to get its citizens used to the idea of a lockdown. That's kind of, I don't know. It almost seems like all of these world leaders seem to know something that we don't know, and they're preparing for potentially a lockdown that could last like a year or longer. It seems like that, just the way it keeps getting brought back up and the way we keep getting these new arguments that sound right, but when you look into them, they're wrong. But it doesn't matter, you know, you either have half or whole governments pushing for it anyway. It's starting to get like, what are y'all trying to do? Because they're never just doing what they say that they're doing.
No, it's the globalization of federal governments. We're gonna have a great reset. And all of the federal governments throughout the world are going to conglomerate into either the World Health Organization or like a new version of the United Nations. And they're going to try to have one world government. And it's pretty obvious to me that they're trying to consolidate power. But I think they're getting desperate. That's why I really think they're getting desperate, because the biggest transfer of wealth in human history is happening right now from rich to poor. People don't realize it, but it's happening because of people like you and me and people who are in the working class who are getting prepared for some catastrophic event, plus the advent of cryptocurrency. So that's why all the federal governments are trying to get all the Bitcoin or whatever, because if we have that, we have leverage over the Fed, and the Fed, we can now bargain with the Fed and the banks and be like, listen, no more interest rates. If you're giving us a mortgage, it's at a fixed 1% rate and you're not going to fuck us. And we're going to go through massive growing pains. I think because my parents, they showed me this app, like this real estate app, where in the past 60 days, the value of their home has gone up $50,000. So what's that? I think it's pretty obvious to say that's a bubble. So something's going to pop soon.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing. Oh, the Democrats keep trying to say that, like, oh, inflation's not happening, because they're scared of being blamed for it because they've been doling out trillions, you know? And it's like, it's really starting to be like, okay, but like, for how long is everything going to keep getting more expensive without stopping before we say that obviously this is like getting a little bit out of control?
Yeah,
it's everywhere. Even places like Interlochen, Putnam County, house prices are going up. How?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
It's we're going to go through a huge growing pain, but keep in mind, Justin, recessions and like depressions are actually the best time for economic opportunity for like the common folk. Mm-hmm. So if we just get assets before that happens, like land, mm-hmm. property, yada, yada, then we're going to be able to hold on to that stuff after we get out of it. And then we're going to have even more leverage to fuck up the man, which is this global government.
You know, I'm excited for it because I think especially as an artist, I mean, this is like the opportunities abound, you know. I mean, all you have to do is get somebody as an artist, your goal is to get people engaged when the world is on fire. You know, there's just so much that people will engage with. As long as we don't really, really start. One thing I'm actually worried about, because I kind of think that no matter what happens, you know, we'll probably have a rough period. We'll get through it. We'll come back. I don't think that a lot of people keep saying stuff about this is like the fall of the American Empire. I'm not so convinced on that. Our two biggest competitors are China and Russia. And there's a lot of things that could cause those two countries to fall apart any day now. I mean, they're ruled by dictators. That's never very healthy for the lifespan of a country. So, you know, I don't know that America's falling apart. I just hope we can keep freedom of speech together. That's the one thing that I just see a lot of people, both on the left and the right, going for freedom of speech when it suits them. And that's one of the few things that really does concern me, because I think we can get through whatever's going to happen as long as we're free to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they just give us free speech because they're like, look at these idiots. They think talking about it does anything. And they just let us have it as a little biscuit as they take all the other rights and freedoms. But I don't know. It's anyone's guess.
Yeah. We'll definitely be here. We'll be here every week recounting the end of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. My back screen will be like, you know, just flames, but we'll still have the podcast consistently going.
Absolutely. Oh shoot. I had a blank. Oh, okay. So I did want to talk about this other thing to change gears. I think you've heard of transracialism, correct?
That's where I say I'm black, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could become you identify as another race. And, you know, I've been giving this one a lot of thought. I don't ever like to say whether or not I agree or disagree with anything without heaps of thought. And I want to phrase this like the most, fuck it. I think my conclusion is why not? Why not? Like,
I have the same conclusion, even though I've given it no thought.
I've given it much. And essentially, here's what made me think, why not? Because when you think about the current logic that's being used to justify being any gender, right? It's that gender is a social construct. Therefore, it's fake. Therefore, you're allowed to pick whatever place in or outside of that social construct that you want to identify with, because it is just a construct that's not based in nature. Now, race is a social construct. This is something well proven and documented. You know, we all know that the only real difference between races is a couple of medical differences that really have more to do with where you're from, not what color you are. The only real difference is the color of your skin. We know that racism was commissioned in the 1400s by Portugal to justify the African slave trade because, you know, slavery at that point was becoming unpopular thanks to the Enlightenment. So you could even argue that race is more imaginary than gender, because gender is at least usually inspired by the natural distinction of sex, which is from nature and is demonstrable and observable. Whereas there's no real natural distinction within race that are demonstrable or observable in the same way as gender. So if anyone can pick any gender, why can't, it seems to me that it should logically follow that anyone can pick any race. That's how I arrived there. And no, which it,
I didn't put any thought into it, but I came to the exact same conclusion. It's like, it's not even real. So yeah. it's who gives a fuck? But I also reserve the right to fucking laugh at you.
Absolutely.
but yeah, I mean, go, knock yourself out.
Mm-hmm. It's very, and it's interesting to push back against the idea too, because it's all, you know, you see, we're hearing, especially Black people say that, like, you can't just identify as Black, you have to be Black to know what that means. And, you know, we're getting a lot of points of view that would seem to suggest that there's just naturally something different about being Black, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was the logic that was used to justify racism and slavery, was that Black people are different in some way naturally.
Yeah, and also, I don't understand why this is even an argument in 2021. Everyone knew a Uyghur in the 90s. So, like, those were the first transracial people. Everyone knew a white guy who had a neck tat and said the N-word and had a Black girlfriend that he beat up. So what's the fucking difference?
Like, I mean, if Eminem came out tomorrow and said, I identify as Black, who's really going to argue with Eminem?
Dude, other rappers have called Eminem Black for like 20 years.
He blacker than most of the Black ones, frankly.
He really is. He's from fucking Detroit.
And, you know, when you think about it, too, how medical technology is enabling us to really change literally everything about ourselves. Very soon, we're going to be able to completely redesign ourselves all the way down to our DNA. So, like, you know, is it even worth, like, why are we even trying to maintain these differences? Why are we trying to set these boundaries? Because it's like, inevitably, the world is going to go to a place where a lot of people are just inventing what they look like.
Yeah.
You know, and it's odd that a lot of people seem to think that it's racist to be transracial. That's another thing. It's like, it's a racist thing now, but it's like, would that not be exactly what we need to end racism? Everybody just picking their own race. And then as an employer, you know, as people who are in a position to discriminate or not discriminate, you know, how would you be able to discriminate, you know, because all the stereotypes, you know, that you may or may not know of about Black people don't apply anymore if half of them used to be white?
I don't know, man. I think it's like, it's not racism. It's probably appropriation when you have fucking professors that are white naming themselves, you know, El Chupacabra Chimichanga, and they wear like leopard pants everywhere. That's probably, you know, that's something. But I don't know what it is. It's just it's human behavior and a weirdo, but I don't know what to label it as.
It's very odd. I don't know. Just the fixation on our differences is very interesting, because social movements in this country, at least, used to be about fixation on all of our similarities. That's what used to be about.
Also, you always want what you don't have, right? Mm-hmm. And I think more people I've noticed more people than ever hate themselves. So people are constantly trying to change stuff about them. Mm. So I think it goes into that, as well as people just don't love who they are, and they want to do something about it as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't wait to see what's going to happen when this transracial movement really picks up steam, because I think it's going to pick up steam. There's a lot of people saying they're transracial, and they're going to be saying, they're going to be using all the same arguments that, like, the LGBTQ community used to justify, you know, their movements. They're going to be using the exact same logic, the exact same rhetoric. It'll be very interesting, because we're going to get a bunch of groups now arguing against their own rhetoric that they've stood on at this point for 50, 60 years.
I love that. I love that so much.
It's great. It's going to be great.
So are they going to fall under T of the LGBT.
I don't know. Maybe we'll need to add a new one.
But it would just be another T, so it would be redundant, right?
Yeah.
Just make the T a catch-all for different types of T.
Remember when pedophiles tried to jump in the T?
LGBTP. I'll say LGBTP. I don't know why it sounds better than LGBTQ, but
it is also, you know, it's an interesting look into where how a good idea can become a bad idea if you don't really consider the particulars of the idea.
That's the problem with inclusion, right? Is you don't really want to include everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. We don't actually want to include everybody.
No, because that would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, that would be a guy. We would have transracial dog people walking down the street. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. And then they're people. Naked. They're naked because they're dog people, and that's their cultural heritage is to be naked. So like, you can't even tell them to be naked because you're discriminating.
Yeah, and then they just fucking walk into your office and like poop on your floor and don't wipe their ass and shit.
And if you say something, then it's like, you need to respect my identity.
If someone did that, I would be like, I respect you as a dog, so I'm going to treat you like a dog and I'm going to shove your face in this shit.
I got to entertain the people. I got to step away for just a second.
No, I got to take a tinkle.
Okay, me too. Pause it. Okay. So the conclusion, I think, for me is that I'm now Jewish. I've identified as a Jew since I was born a Jew. Okay. And I was assigned non-Jew at birth. And I'm really hoping that this will catapult me into the movie industry. I'm really hoping.
It doesn't catapult you, but it gets your foot in the door and it makes it possible.
Mm-hmm. You know, and now that I'm Jewish, I'm fully willing to be a Zionist, you know, fuck those dirty brown, what are they, Palestinians? We can just call them rats. Rats.
You gotta move to Hollywood, dude.
I know. I'm gonna blow up. I'm gonna blow up. I'm fashionably homeless. I'm Jewish. I've got it all. It's all coming together.
You present as a gay black southerner. You have all, you're literally hitting every box. Of course, there's going to be a new box soon, but I'm sure you're going to hit that. You're going to find a way to fucking weasel into that.
Now all
one.
I need to do is become half woman and part dog. And then I think I'm really, really, really landed on something spicy there.
Well, it's ever changing, right? There's always going to be a new box, but you are a master, for lack of a better word, let's use the word weasel. You're going to find a way to weasel into there.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right.
I have a game I wanted to play.
Ooh, yay. I love games.
Okay. It's called, it's like real or fake news. And I'm going to read you like a headline and I want you to guess which one's real, which one's fake.
Okay.
We could call it, you know, ass or nose, but that might get confusing, you know, because you know, we don't know which one's which. Okay.
I'm gonna call it, it'll either be bullshit or good shit.
Okay. Good. Okay. First one is pop culture related, right? Mm-hmm. Kendall Jenner shows the world her cocaine bag, or Caitlyn Jenner says that she's throwing the first ever trans Olympic party in Mercedes-Benz Stadium the same night Kanye drops his album.
Yikes. Okay, that the first one was Kendall Jenner?
Kendall Jenner shows the world her cocaine bag.
I'm going to say the Kendall Jenner one is bullshit. And the Caitlyn Jenner was good shit.
You are wrong, my friend. You are completely wrong. Kendall Jenner showed her cocaine bag to the world via Instagram. And the caption was, OMG, I found the cutest little Ziploc bag.
Oh, I think I actually saw that.
Okay.
That's funny. Okay. Okay. So, damn. I'm kind of disappointed that Caitlyn Jenner's not throwing a trans Olympic party. That would be great.
Okay. This is a political headline. bullshit or good shit. Governor Cuomo says he makes sexual jokes to his male aides as well. Ooh. Or don't panic about Delta, but also panic a little.
Okay, I feel like the Cuomo one is good shit. The Cuomo one has to be true.
You're wrong again.
God damn.
This is a real headline. Don't panic about Delta, but also panic a little.
Why did they word it like that?
Now we're going to quotes of politicians, right?
Okay.
You got a fat pussy, Margaret, Donald Trump. Or, you know, all those memes are basically true. Joe Biden discussing memes that paint him as the wacky old partner in a buddy movie with Barack Obama.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, wait, repeat the first quote.
You've got a fat pussy, Margaret.
Oh, man. You know, you're really pulling out the stops on this one. This. Damn. I know for a fact that Donald Trump has said that sentence probably.
So is that your good shit?
I don't know, because Biden would say something stupid like that. Okay, I'm gonna go with the least exciting one. I'm gonna say Biden was good shit.
Correct. The actual quote from Donald Trump is, "You've got a fat pussy." That's the end of the quote. keep in mind, he would never actually hang out with a woman named Margaret. He only hangs out with Eastern Europeans. Oh, and then to top it off, this isn't even, I'm not going to give you another option. This is just a headline that I really liked. Mm-hmm. It's from the New York Times. It's our favorite newspaper, right? This is, I'll give you the headline and then I'll give you the sub headline. Don't go down the rabbit hole is the headline. And then the sub headline is, critical thinking as we're taught to do it isn't helping the fight against misinformation.
Oh, okay.
So
I feel like I've read that one. Yeah.
So basically, they want you to panic about Delta, but they also want you to not think critically about it. Because both of those were real headlines. But yeah, that's
okay, that was fun. Just an extra to top it off. Okay.
That was just a little something extra.
I love that. Critical thinking as we're taught it is not helping the spread of misinformation.
And then meanwhile, the very in the same breath, don't panic about Delta, but also panic a little. So
misinformation is another great example of how they've just gone so far with the shit that they said they were not going to go too far with. And where it's like, you know, at first misinformation was like alt-right stuff. And now it's like misinformation is literally anything that Democrats don't agree with.
And I love how misinformation is just rebranding fake news. And they're Donald Trump. They're like, the fake news doesn't exist. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Now they're coining it misinformation, and now everything is misinformation.
Yeah, literally everything.
Also, I know I've talked about this probably on previous pods, but fake news and misinformation have been around forever. It's not a new concept. It's just, I don't know why.
I heard that, I don't know how true this is, but I heard that one of the first books widely distributed was a book on hunting witches. And it was nonfiction.
Yeah.
So I feel like that tells you everything you need to know about the written word and what we end up doing with it.
Yeah. I mean, look at this podcast. I mean, come on.
Don't act like we write this.
Oh, but yeah.
That was fun. Good. That was a really fun game. I like that.
I liked
it a lot.
Yeah. Also, you know how we said we were going to change pseudo penis, but then never talked about it?
Oh, yeah.
What if we called it ass boogers or nose poo?
What if we called it what's those sores you get on your ass? A hemorrhoid.
Oh. The hemorrhoid of the week?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's actually pretty good.
We can try it on, see if we change it. I mean, we can change it weekly. And so we really find that one that's golden.
If you're not going to love it on the first podcast, you're not going to like it on the second podcast. It's like a dress.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's like a dress when you get it in store. But yeah, I'll try it out.
I fucking bought shirts, total sidebar, but I fucking bought shirts from Vans for the first time in years, got them home and realized I hate them.
Wait, from who?
Vans.
Like off the wall Vans?
Yeah. I don't know why.
What the fuck?
It was one, get one, and the shirt was $10, and I couldn't help it. I couldn't help myself.
Okay, then it's excusable because they can be like, you know, painting shirts, you know? But at the same time, it would be hilarious if you were trying on a new personality, and by the time you got home, you're like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, it very much looked like high school. I put it on, looked in the mirror, and I was like, wow, I'm in high school.
Yeah.
But yeah, hemorrhoid. Do you want to go get to the hemorrhoid?
So actually I didn't pull mine up, but I have it. You go first and I'll pull mine up.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My hemorrhoid for today is all of the United States. I heard a stat recently that a couple things. First of all, I heard a stat and did a little bit of looking. And there's some differing of opinions on the exact number, but if you make between $30,000 a year and $80,000 a year is generally where the estimates lie.
Mm-hmm.
You are in the 1% of the globe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, $30,000 a year in America is not a lot of money.
That's like the poverty line. It's like right above the poverty line.
Yeah, that's not a lot of money. And that's all you need to make to be in the 1%
mm-hmm.
of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was that. And then also this woman named Yeonmi Park, who's this, she's this woman that escaped from North Korea. And mm-hmm. she's been doing media rounds. I've watched a few of her interviews. She's got a book.
What's her name?
Yeonmi Park. Y-E-O-N-M-I.
Oh, that's the girl from North Korea, right?
Yeah. And, and I haven't read her book yet, which I'm going to read because it looks really good. She's really smart. But I've listened a lot of the interviews that I've listened to her. Like, she was on Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson, really long podcast. She really detailed her story, like what exactly it was like in North Korea. And then what it was like in China when she left, and then like what she had to do to get to South Korea just so that she could like get freedom. And like,
it's probably horrific, right?
Yo, I mean, these like in North Korea, right? Just to give you a few samplings of the awful things, the people, first of all, they're starving their people to death on purpose. They're keeping them weak on purpose.
We've known that. Yeah.
To the point where they poop a couple of times a month, right? Families are required to collect 1 ton of poop like every month. So they're literally, they've got families scavenging for poop to
Why
turn it into
that?
The government to use it as fertilizer because they're trying to keep their farms operating. Now people, almost everyone is forced to work on farms every day, and something like only 2% of the food grown on these farms are distributed to like the people that lead the farm, not even just the farmers. And the farmers are essentially told, go like find food wherever you want.
Yeah.
You gotta have to find it. They eat people. When you go to one of the markets, she was saying that like, when you go get meat, you don't ask what kind of meat it is because you know that there's a good chance that it's human.
Mm.
And it's better to just eat it and, you know, to just not worry about it, you know?
Oh my God.
And then she goes to China, and China's like North Korea. According to her, North Korea is China.
Mm-hmm.
They have a face as if they're separate countries, but they're the same country at this point, essentially, the way they operate. And mm-hmm. Chinese soldiers will return to escape North Koreans to North Korea and watch North Korean soldiers abuse them. She went to China, ended up being sold. She ended up having to marry some old guy because like that was the only way that she could get her free, get her family out of North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it goes on and on and on, the awful, horrific shit that this girl, and like, from, you know, while she was working on this escape, she was in her teens. Like, this was all between the age of like 14 and 17, I think. Like, this was like, she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just god awful, right? So her story just, I found really crazy, because it's, you know, it's the level, it's a level of genuine oppression that, like, no, in America we can't conceive.
Yeah,
we can fucking imagine. We're calling people not using our pronouns oppression, you know. We're calling things here oppression that are absolutely ridiculous when you talk about her story, you know. When you consider her story, it's like, that is true evil happening right now.
Yeah.
Nothing in this country is that bad, you know. That mixed with the fact that really I've, you know, most Americans are literally in the 1% of the world. You know, I've just recently realized we're delusional about how good we have it here. Like, we're fucking delusional. We really do have it like great. I mean, this is one of the best places to be in the fucking world. And anybody that wants to disagree with that can kiss my ass. Go over there. Tell me how great it is, you know? And so, yeah, that's why America is my pseudo penis, because we got a whole lot of just ungrateful.
Wait, we changed it.
Oh, not pseudo penis.
Hemorrhoid.
Hemorrhoid. America's my hemorrhoid. Mainly young Americans who have become convinced that they're living under some kind of an oppression. Because, yeah, like, just no, just fucking no.
Amen, brother. Amen. And hemorrhoid is such a good, I'm liking the hemorrhoid because it's in your ass and it bleeds and it hurts.
Mm-hmm. It's just the oozing and sore.
And it's not going to kill you, but it's really annoying.
Yeah, I like that.
So, well done.
Yeah. So that's my hemorrhoid. Everybody, if you're listening to this and you're in America, be grateful. Stop complaining for a half a day. Go stand outside and appreciate the fact that unless you live in a couple of cities in this country, you can stand outside and just be grateful.
You're right, dude. We're such pussies. We're so spoiled. We're always comparing ourselves to other people that have it quote unquote better than us. Mm-hmm. It's a joke. It's a joke, dude. We both have roots over our heads. We're not worrying about the government stealing our food. It's ridiculous, dude. Yeah. And for the majority of human history, no, not for the majority, for the entirety of human history, I would say we have it better than anyone else.
And we're still complaining.
Pretty
much. I mean, most of human history, pretty much everywhere in the world was ruled by a dictator.
Yeah.
You know, and they might've been called kings or emperors or whatever, but they were dictators.
And you could say, I guess your only other thing you could say is like ancient Greece or ancient Rome, but those were like 50%, 50-50 split between citizens and slaves. And at the end of the day, what your emperor said was going to happen, and the whole thing. And keep in mind, we have the luxuries of modernity, which are AC, the whole nine. So it's a fucking joke.
One more anecdote from Yeonmi's Park. From Yeonmi Park. A lot of what she's been doing in America since she came to America, she went to university. Right now, she's kind of like, what she's doing because her son is American and she's getting involved in American politics. And like, she's really a centrist and she comes at both sides. But she told this story. She was in New York and some black lady walked up to her, punched her, and took her wallet, took her purse. Okay, robbed her in the middle of the street in front of everybody. Yeonmi grabs this girl, right? And she's trying to hold her. And she's like, I'm calling the cops. Like, you just hit me and told you to try to steal me. Now, she was, all the people around her, literally, they gathered around her and started yelling at her, calling her a racist, like telling her that she's wrong for calling the cops, like threatening her. To the point where she just let the girl go because she was like, I don't even know. Like, I'm from North Korea. I don't even know what's happening right now. But like, apparently I'm a racist because I was trying to stop this girl from stealing my shit.
Yeah, from herself getting robbed.
Literally. And, you know, and she went into a few other stories where it's like she's been on the attacking end of this liberal mindset. And it's like, what are we doing? Like, that to me is like such a clear sign that there's something seriously wrong with that, with the leftist ideology right now, because it is like, how are we, how can you, I'm like, if this girl with what she's gone through and what she's, you know, the very important information she's trying to tell the world, the way she's risking her life, if she's your enemy in any instance, you're wrong. Like, that's just like the kind of person where it's like, if she's diametrically opposed to what you believe, then maybe you should really, really reconsider what you believe.
She's the embodiment of the American dream. And anyone who says otherwise is an anarchist. So you can go fuck yourself.
And it's fucked. You know, like the right is mad at her because she talks about Trump and about how he's not helpful. The left is mad at her because she talks about, you know, how this wokeism in university is starting to remind her a lot of how North Korea operated. You know, like, she's coming from a place where, like, that's a country where that country is the result of everything that could go bad in a country. And she's coming over and saying, hey, I'm kind of seeing some warning signs over here. And I have, like, actual real world experience with what real oppression is, you know. And just the idea that people are getting mad at her instead of being like, hey, maybe we should make sure that our side is not making any big mistakes right now. It's just absolutely, I mean, how far does your head have to be up your own ass?
All the way to like where your head was originally, apparently. That's wild.
Essentially.
That's wild.
But yeah, amazing. I would recommend like finding her interviews or reading any of her writing or stuff, because she's really interesting, really, really intelligent.
Yeah, I saw one, like a couple videos of her talking about the American education system, and then I did see a story of her on Joe Rogan's podcast talking about just life in North Korea, how like she became so desensitized to horror that it wasn't terrifying to her, like it was just everyday life, and how she fucking saw little kids begging while their organs were falling out of their body and they were holding their organs in, just gruesome shit. And she would feel nothing and keep walking.
You couldn't, she talked about that. It was like, you couldn't, you had to be numb, because otherwise how do you live in that without killing yourself?
Yeah. You can't process it, but yeah,
absolutely crazy.
Ignorance is bliss type thing. It's crazy. Well, mine isn't that good, so I wish you would have went second.
I hope it's lighthearted, because I got kind of heavy there.
It is lighthearted. Great. Thank God. So this fucking guy, this is my favorite fighter. I'm wearing his shirt. Darren Till, Englishman. He recently is being investigated by his local police officers over a meme he posted on Instagram. So like, this is England. You can get investigated for memes. What do you think the meme was, by the way?
Oh, ooh. Okay, if he got investigated and it was in England, it must have been about COVID. It must be COVID related.
No.
Damn.
It was social justice related.
Oh, okay.
Come on, give me one more guess.
Immigrants?
No.
Damn.
So he posted this meme. Can you go ahead and read it out loud for the people?
Okay. For the audio listeners, it says, the meme says, when you transgender and you think you're pregnant, and we have this trans woman getting a ultrasound, and on the ultrasound we're seeing a big turd. Just a big turd, and the doctor's pointing at the turd.
Yeah.
And probably saying it's a them.
And then and this is from the UK newspaper, where they blurred out the turd.
No way.
Yeah, look, they blurred out the turd.
Jesus.
And this is the UK for you. They actually kill retarded people, and I'm not saying like I'm not using this like a derogatory term. I'm saying people who are mentally disabled, they don't give treatment to, but they investigate people for posting memes like this.
There's nothing wrong with being a retard.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's in fact, we should show empathy to those people, but in the UK, they kill them.
I love retards. They make the world go round. Tim Dillon said it himself on his last episode. We wouldn't have the Olympics if it wasn't for retards.
What did he mean by that?
He was like talking about how Naomi Osaka doesn't want to do press because she's like protesting against the press or whatever. So she won't do interviews. And he just went off about how this is actually really funny because he ended up like real news outlets are reporting on that bit, this bit where he was like, "You're stupid. That's why you're good at the sport. You're a fucking retard. Like, you, it's not that hard." Like, it was funny. He went off. He was right. We don't ask like why do we need the athletes to like be aware of like what's going on with the media? Who
They
cares?
don't have time. All they do is train and
Do the
then,
flip, dude. Just do
yeah, all
it.
they do is train and have sex with gorgeous people. They don't have time to think about issues.
It's the same with actors and musicians like talking about politics. It's like shut up and just do what you do. Just do your thing and leave us alone.
Yeah, it's like it's like basically shut up and dribble.
But that was
But
totally off topic. So he got investigated
he's on it's an ongoing investigation, and
for not
he
even like a great meme.
for like a subpar meme. And this
Yeah.
is what I love about the UK is he posted like a follow-up video because like a report, you know how fucking like disgusting and slimy journalists are. So she DMs him and she's like, "Hey, Darren, hope you're doing well. I'm going to be reporting on this. Do you have a comment?" And he didn't answer. And then she writes like disgusting UFC fighter post deplorable meme, but because they're two-faced demons. But he posted a follow-up video where he's like, "You know, I don't care if I offend people. I don't care if it's controversial. I'm never going to change." And it's like, dude, in America, this isn't controversial. This isn't deplorable. This is literally a bad meme.
Yeah.
But in the UK, it's like, this is so controversial. And it's like, I don't understand the disconnect where you get offended by shit like this, but your government's killing retards.
Well, what you got to remember about the UK is most of their media is controlled by the government.
Is it really?
Yeah, like what's the big show that their biggest news outlet, what is it called? CBC, CNBC,
BBC.
BBC. BBC, yeah, like that's controlled by the government. That's
Didn't
like a
know
lot of
that.
their newspapers and stuff is controlled by the government because they have different laws about news outlets there. Like they can't be private, they have to be public, which essentially ends up meaning that they're controlled by the government.
Yeah, of course.
So like
And
this makes perfect sense to me. Of course, this is what they would rather talk about than the retards that they're killing.
yeah, crazy. And fuck, was it? Yeah. Also, I didn't know that about the BBC or about, British media, but people who like to think they're smart and love to tell you about it always say they watch BBC,
Oh yeah.
which
Yeah.
is like,
They think that's something, which BBC is literally CNN.
it's a British CNN, right?
Yeah, it's essentially the same thing. They have pretty much all the same
They just
takes.
have British accents, so you think you're smarter.
Yeah. You think you sound a little bit smarter. I mean, like the most conservative person in British media was like Piers Morgan, and he wasn't even really that fucking conservative. He just thought some shit. He just thought like a lot of the trans rhetoric and a lot of this like feminine terrorist rhetoric was getting weird. That was mainly where people thought he was a conservative. It was because he was like, well, I don't know that you can just be any gender. And I don't know that like men are, I don't know that we're living in like a patriarchal society. Like he would say shit like that, that isn't even really conservative. But that was
No.
as conservative as it got.
Yeah, I know over here people will see him as the biggest, like huge carpet bagging live, but it doesn't
I think he's
matter.
hilarious.
It doesn't He's friends with the Epsteins.
And
It
I
doesn't
don't well, yeah. But it's like I don't agree with everything the guy said. I disagree with what he thought about trans people, but like was he a conservative? No.
Does it matter? No, it's just this is my hemorrhoid because he is finally he's been fighting injuries and he's finally set to fight in September. And if he's not allowed to leave the country because of a meme investigation, I'm gonna be livid.
How, what are they investigating? Like
Harassment.
harassment?
I don't know. Let me read the article.
This is idiotic.
Hold on. Hold on. Let me see. Like you're right. What could the charge, potential charge,
I mean,
possibly
like, what is there
be?
to even like? He shared the meme. Like, an investigations usually means that there's things like there's like elements of the case that we don't know yet that we need to investigate. But I'm like, what do we not know about this? He shared the meme.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what it's
This kind of seems like, without any details, this kind of seems like a stunt in order to punish this guy for posting that. This podcast would never fly in the UK.
It doesn't even say what is being investigated for on like two different articles that I looked
Yeah,
up.
this is totally some performative bullshit.
Absolutely, it's horseshit, so.
They're worse than us.
But yeah, that's my hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid
I
of the
love
week
that. I love
is
that.
so you did America. My hemorrhoid is Britain. So there you go.
The world's biggest and stinkiest hemorrhoids, America and the UK.
The two biggest white empires of the past 1,000 years.
Yeah, we're doing great. We're doing great. I love that they were, you know, like they're empires that were founded upon like essentially like conquest. Like we
Like
don't
any,
use,
you mean any empire? Yeah.
you know, we don't use these terms to describe how America was settled, but that's what it was. It was conquest. And it was a very slow conquest, and a lot of it was not done by military, but it was a conquest. It's amazing to me that now these countries that like were built on the backs, like built on blood, now it's like these countries have they've gone so far in the other direction.
Dude, it's all posturing, of course. And I'm like a separate note, but to like prove your point, I was just flipping through my YouTube and like a title I saw. I follow Watch Mojo, and one of them was Top 10 Worst Apologies by Fast Food Companies. And it's like, why do fast food companies need to apologize? They're fast food companies. Why do empires have to worry about who they offend? They murder people. So what's who cares, you know? But
Literally.
whatever. This has been a good pod.
This has been a good pod. It's been a really good episode. I'm glad to be back at it.
Yeah, let's go. Let's fucking go.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, thank you for listening to Ask the Nose, everybody.
I'm ass.
And I'm Nose.